Witchcraft, enmity, intentions, envy, wrath, quarrel, dissension, sects, murder, drunkenness, filthiness, and such like. Having spelled out what the evil spirit produces, he goes on, what the fruit of the Spirit, capitalized, the Holy Spirit. The fruits are charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, and chastity. You notice there are 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. As we've said, I will concentrate on chastity. However, in St. Paul's identification of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, he has no less than three fruits, all having to do with chastity, modesty, continence, and chastity. Modesty is chaste behavior. Continence is interior chastity. And chastity as such, a generic term for the practice of chastity, both in the body and in the soul. Now the focus of our meditation, the subtitle of our present conference is Interior Chastity in the Gospels. First, to refresh our memories, Christ elevated chastity beyond anything ever commanded in the Old Law. He first of all elevated marital chastity. He restored marriage to its monogamous state. There was no monogamy even required of the Jews. There has been no monogamy in any religion in human history ever since, except authentic, honest to God, Catholic Christianity. And what we've said, Christ elevated chastity to its condition as marital chastity to what it had been before the fall of our first parents. He told them, two in one flesh, no more, only two. With the fall of the human race, God allowed, and I use the verb advisedly, God allowed polygamy. God allowed divorce and remarriage. But as Christ told the Pharisees, remember, when they complained, a man puts away his wife, there was another, he commits adultery. If she marries another, she committed adultery. But the Dorian asked her, how come Moses allowed us men to divorce our wives and marry another woman? Remember Jesus' answer. It was because of the hardness of your hearts. We see theologically that God tolerated divorce and marriage. He tolerated polygamy. When the coming of Christ, talk about elevating chastity. Married people, only one wife, one husband, and no polygamy. Even for the Muslims, by divine law, since the coming of Christ, the Muslims, every Muslim nation in the world, legalizes polygamy. Disciple of my habit. No one, all human beings are now provided with the grace to live a monogamous life. Christ then first elevated marital chastity as being just described. But he also elevated chastity in every state of life to a new dignity by prescribing not only chastity of the body, but chastity of the heart. In other words, interior chastity. And Christ did so in two New Testament contexts, and both, not coincidentally, from the Gospel of St. Matthew, written, as we know, for the converts from Judaism. No wonder so few Jews were converted by Christ, and even St. Paul. The first text occurs in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. It reads, "You heard what was said to the angels, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, anyone who so much as looks with lust at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Talk about elevating the sixth commandment. I've said this, I'm sure, at least once before. While teaching at the State University, one of my students, an Orthodox Jew, after I finished class, he came and said, he said, "Dr. Harden, now here you say that if I look at a beautiful woman walking along the streets and want to have sex with her, then I'm committing a sin?" I said, "Yes." He told me, "That's impossible." I'm pleased to report, I had to come to my office. I called him, he was in his senior year, for the rest of the year. On graduation day, his parents from Brooklyn, New York, thanked me for helping their son. Straightening out his sex life. That's the first quotation. The second quotation is again from St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 8. Here Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, first, as we've been doing, an explanation, and then being a retreat, the application. In comparing the Old Testament with the New, on the level of chastity, Christ is saying that his followers are forbidden even to lust internally. This refers to both men and women. I never tire repeating what our Holy Father said to an audience of women in Rome. What Jesus said about a man not looking lustfully at a woman, otherwise he is adultery with her in his heart. My dear ladies, this refers to you too. If a woman looks at a man lustfully, she commits adultery with him in her heart. Is this ever important today? I know women how lustful women can be, and how shrewdly they can hide their lechery. I repeat, how cleverly women can seduce men. They continue Christ's teaching as recorded from St. Matthew's Gospel. Tells us that the adultery forbidden is any sin against chastity. In both the Old Testament and with emphasis in the New, the word adultery, as we've just quoted from Matthew's Gospel, used by Jesus, refers to all sins against chastity. Masturbation, fornication, homosexuality, and of course, in the technical sense, adultery. Told by Christ that is why, and why we're having both this meditation, why Christ went out of his way to show how he was elevating, raising the commandment of God far beyond anything ever prescribed in the old law. What is Christ telling us? He must control our wills, not only our external sins against chastity. We are to control our desires. As we've said, there's no control over desires without controlling our thoughts. And there's no controlling our thoughts without controlling the source of our thoughts, which is our sense experiences. What we see, what we hear, what we read. And Christ's reference to the eyes, remember? anyone even looks at a woman lustfully. Oh, crucially important, if when we close this retreat, how crucially important it is for us. I'm speaking to men, masculine gender, to watch our eyes. Otherwise, we will never, never practice the chastity which Christ tells us is a condition even for our salvation. You just cannot. No way. You just cannot live a chaste life, whether externally, our stress in this meditation, internally, unless we decide, and please God, you will resolve to practice. What word shall I use? Mortification of the eyes, mastery of our eyes. You with your eyes, I with mine. And the world in which we are living, how well it knows how powerful a stimulus to sex are the eyes. I'm sure I've said this before. And cost of advertising in our country each year. Advertising is a $170 billion industry just in the United States. Living in New York for 14 years, I've come to know, I came to know New York and its advertising industry. I was told by professional advertisers, one of our principal ways of getting products bought. And what I defined advertising as, remember, what people buy, what they don't need, and money they don't have. One of our principal means of promoting what we are selling is sex. I was told doctorates in psychology are hired by the advertising industry seduce both men and women sexually. They continue. And Christ warns both men, and the vigor of Christ tells us also women, to guard their honor. He is telling us, if we watch and notice what I'm saying, and I'm repeating, we see many things that are sexually seductive. But what a difference between seeing something and looking at it. During my 14 years in New York to dressmakers. How well they know how women should dress in order to make them, shall I say, attractive or seductive. Woman's dress, a woman's dress advertised storefront, $600. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Who promote sales, how well they know how to get their products bought. I repeat, modesty of the eyes is imperative to remain chaste. I'm speaking as a man, masculine and gender, to men. Masculine gender. We must discipline our senses, our sense of sight. Remember David, the great King David, and Bathsheba. Remember? The stupid king saw this beautiful woman naked. He looked at her and much of the life of David, we read the Old Testament, as the price he paid and the chosen people paid for his world lack of control of his eyes. I'm giving a retreat, not a lecture, in theology. Christ could not have been either plainer or more forthright. Remember, and it's in this context that Jesus said, with your eyes that scandalize you. Remember, pluck out your eye. Better go to heaven minus one or even both eyes than go to hell with both eyes. St. Alphonse de Liguori, the father of the Redemptress, of the Church's universal patron of confessors, wrote over 100 books. I'm still trying to catch up. St. Alphonsus, according to Alphonsus, most of the people in hell are there because of sins against chastity. I like that. I believe it. All the talk about sanctity is so much, pardon the expression, pious pap, unless we practice the virtue of interior chastity. And the price of interior chastity means guarding our senses, especially our eyes. What resolutions we should make, all of us, including me, in this retreat, to ensure we will get to heaven. Because we have practiced chastity. And let me tell you, this applies not only as much to married men as single men or single men, but I dare say this applies even more to married men than to single men. From 50 years of priestly experience. How many wives have told me? I am married just 1 month. But Father, I have washed my husband's eyes. At some social gathering, I notice he looks at women in the room. I've told him, Jim, you're now a married man. What did I do? I know what I'm talking about. Am I clear? And a husband, naturally, and shall I even say supernaturally, experiencing, well, the divinely given joys of marriage. Shall I say it? Women, did you know this? Get older. Did you know that? They become, well, I don't want to use a word, aged. Over the years of my priesthood, there may be exceptions. I don't know about them. Every failure against marital chastity by the husband has been in favor of a younger woman than his wife. The one who was, well, more attractive than the spouse, whom you swore you would remain faithful until death. Am I still making sense? There was a very close relationship, divinely provided for women being attractive. And their attractiveness, I repeat, as part of divine providence. As they have children and they, well, become older, and after a certain age, even physically, they can no longer bear children. But a man's sexual drives, shall I say it, do not become weaker with age. I think I should also say this. How many wives I've talked to and reprimanded and spoke very strongly to. All right. So now you've had your children. And you're tempted to think that your husband has served his purpose. Am I making sense? How many husbands have told me, Father, well, my wife tolerates me. She tells me she loves me. But how I need to have her show that she loves me by providing, as a wife should, for the divinely given satisfaction of my sexual inclinations. Am I clear? You can get what I say to women when I give them a retreat. Back to us men. We must be ready, as Christ tells us, to pluck out our eyes. Otherwise, and marriage, I repeat, is no guarantee that our sexual inclinations will somehow fade out. Even die down. The next verse. And Christ told us, rather enter heaven with one eye, for that matter, stone blind, and go to hell with two eyes. And let me say this. After the last day, this is part of our faith. Both those who will enter heaven with their bodies glorified, and those who will go to hell not only in soul, but also in body. Do you hear me? That's our faith. What are we being told? Being told that even internal sins against chastity, if fully deliberate and unrepented, what a statement, deserve hell. How we need to keep hearing this and reminding ourselves of what Jesus Christ, the living God who became man, tells us. That's part one. Now part two is a one sentence quotation again from St. Matthew, but this time in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Over the centuries, the Church has interpreted that beatitude as declaring, blessed are the sinless of heart, for they shall see God. In other words, no one enters heaven with sin unrepented on their souls. But for our purpose, the Church also, over the centuries, has declared, this beatitude says, blessed are the chaste of heart, for they shall see God. And chastity of heart is what we are talking about in this meditation, interior chastity. Chastity of the mind, chastity of the imagination, chastity in our desires, chastity in our wills. And now the reward. In Christ's own language, infallibly explained by the Church, we shall reach heaven and see God only if we have lived chaste lives. And we are living in the most lecherous century of the human race. Just imagine. Suppose Henry VIII had not given in to his mistress, Anne Boleyn. She told him, Henry, no more sex unless I become queen. Talk about women seducing men. Henry, King of England, gave him the Pope would not declare his marriage to Catherine of Aragon, remember, as he knows. So Henry, no declaration of nullity. Henry then went to the bishops. I keep repeating this in one retreat after another. And near Detroit, the city of Rochester, the only bishop in England, remained faithful to the teaching of Christ, was, remember, John Fisher, Bishop of Rochester. All episcopate of England apostatized. I think I should say it. The strongest temptation for bishops in our century to apostatize is lust. Give in to the people who don't want to live an honest to God, Christian, chaste life. And over the years, under directives from Rome, actual members of the hierarchy, your great patron should be John Fisher. I've said this, I'm sure, to some of you. I've said this, Cardinal O'Connor. He merely told me, but I envy John Fisher. Oh, no, to Henry VIII, the king put him in prison and beheaded him. He became a martyr. I'm being killed, martyred, every day. I'm quoting Carl O'Connor verbally, one of the New York Times. Oh, the courage we need in every state of life, from the hierarchy down to the youngest. The courage we need to live a life of purity of heart, internal, interior chastity. This means, as we are saying, chastity in our minds. You cannot read everything. You cannot. I defy anyone to read the daily paper every day in our widely circulating multi-million circulation weekly magazines regularly. I defy anyone to watch television every day unreservedly and remain chaste of heart. No way. You might wonder why I have saved this meditation for the not quite closing meditation, one more coming tomorrow morning. Because I know human nature. I know human beings, and I sure know men, masculine, gender. Whatever resolution you make, as the fruit of this retreat, in the name of God, resolve to practice chastity of heart. and to give up, surrender, let go, give away, whatever your experience has told you is seductive and makes your practice a repeat of chastity of heart difficult. Either we control our senses, or I must say this, you will not reach heaven. What's the reward which Christ promises? They, he says, the pure of heart will see God. And the seeing God is not only, though of course, also seeing God in the beatific vision for which we were made. It is seeing God, who we've been saying throughout the retreat, seeing God in every person, in every event of our life, seeing God in our pain, seeing God in our sufferings, seeing God in whether we had our choice, whether the last thing we would choose. But God hear it. God has a free will. And God chooses to put into our lives what is not pleasant, what is painful, to see God in suffering. Oh, the grace we need, and the condition for that grace of seeing God in everything in our lives is the practice of eternal chastity. I show I'm clear. No one, only is in the right mind, no one speaking to you, man, who knows himself, has any illusions of how demanding on our free will is the practice of eternal chastity. That is why I keep saying we have a free will and we are to control with that will the internal senses, to control our minds, control our imagination, control our desires. Again, we have a free will which controls our muscles. Do you know that the muscles of the eye are voluntary? Did you know that? My right eye is involuntarily blind. All I have to do is close my left eye. I see nothing. We must use our free will in submitting these wills of ours to the will of God, in mastering the voluntary muscles of our bodies. And the two voluntary muscles should especially control on the voluntary muscles of our eyes and our ears. I could add a third one, the voluntary muscle of our touch. Not sure I ever told you this. Did you know that St. Ignatius prescribed for us Jesuits? What a statement. What he calls the rules of modesty. According to my constitutions, I am not to touch another human being. Do you hear me? and not to touch another human being unless charity or necessity require it. Isn't that something? And Mother Teresa, wise woman that she was, she incorporated these norms of modesty for the missionaries of charity. That's why no missionary of charity throughout the world is allowed to either watch television or listen to the radio. Don't tell me, but Father, I'm not a consecrated religious. Pardon me. So what? We are human beings. We're living in a demonically lecherous world. And we must use our free wills to control our senses in order to have mastery over our minds, our desires, and our imagination. Lord Jesus, you were conceived and born of your Virgin Mother. You told us we must be chaste, and chaste not only in our bodies, but chaste internally in our minds and wills. But, dear Lord, you know how pathetically human we are. Give us the strength to use our free wills to control our strong passions so that we may see you in everything of our lives here on earth and see you in that everlasting beatific vision for which you made us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.